Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25. We just recently had celebrated the Queen's Jubilee, and it's a word that sort of in Britain means celebration. It's something that you can think of with happiness and celebration. But the Queen, as she is now the second longest reigning monarch in recorded history, and that's why we have this celebration. But it's a bit strange because we only have it on every big number. We don't have it every single year. It's not called the Jubilee every year. It's only when it's a big number. And that sort of reminds us for what the Bible talks about, the year of Jubilee, because it's only at a big number. And in fact, it's only the 50th year that is called the year of Jubilee. And I thought it's something to consider and think about as we have celebrated that, and to think about what God wants from Israel and what God desires from us. We read the passage in Leviticus chapter 25, the first 17 verses. We only read 17 verses, but the whole chapter is dealing with this year of Jubilee. And so I'm going to explain those things to us so that we can understand it, and then we'll make some notes and some thoughts from it. So what is the year of Jubilee? Well, the word Jubilee in the Bible doesn't mean celebration. It actually means ram's horn. It is the name that was given to the horn that was blown, especially on the Day of Atonement. It was called the Jubilee. That was the horn's name that was blown on the Day of Atonement, which was the day that the high priest would bring the Passover lamb to be sacrificed. I'm sorry, not the Passover lamb. The scapegoat to be sacrificed. And then the other one would be released. It was the day where Israel's sin was covered. That same trumpet that was used on the Day of Atonement was to be used for the year of Jubilee. So what exactly is it? Well, God had told Israel through Moses that every seventh year was going to be a Sabbath year. So the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. The reason we have 7 days in a week is because God created the heavens and the earth. And he created them in 6 days. And on the seventh day, it says he rested. Not because he was tired, but because he wanted to set an example. And so that was the Sabbath day. That was the rest day. And God says to Moses, when you take Israel into the land, when Israel goes in there, I want the land to have a rest. And it's every seventh year that they will have this rest. And what they were to do in that year of rest, in that Sabbath year, they were not allowed to plant any crops. They weren't allowed to put anything into the ground, any seeds or anything else from the previous year. They had to let the ground lay fallow. Not only that, they were not allowed to harvest any of the crops that even may have grown up from the previous year. So they weren't allowed to go out and take their normal implements and tools and gather together the harvest. They were not allowed to go and trim their vines and prune the work that they've been working on, which could have been quite tough if you think about it. If I had gotten this piece of property from my dad and I started working it to plant vines to make it into a vineyard, and I've been working for 40 years to do so, and I've got a really nice vineyard stick ready to go, and suddenly the year of Jubilee comes, I can't do anything to my vines that whole year. Because of the Sabbath year. So they're not to harvest, they're not to plant. Their families, their servants, and all their animals were only allowed to eat what was available. They could go into the fields and just pluck it. If you can remember what the disciples did with Jesus on the Sabbath day, they're walking through and they're plucking some of the wheat, and they're grinding it together and eating it. That's the sort of thing they were allowed to do, but they couldn't do a general harvest. And God says to Moses later on in the chapter that if they trusted him to have the Sabbath year, then what God would do, it would be similar to what he did with the manna. So if you remember when God had, through Moses, brought the manna in the wilderness, God said it's going to come Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But there's not going to be any manna on Saturday. So when you go out on Friday, gather in twice as much because there won't be anything for Saturday. some of the people went out and thought, well, I'll just gather in. When it first came on that Sunday, they said, I'll just go and gather in enough for the whole week, and I won't have to worry about gathering any tomorrow. And so they did that, and they gathered enough for the whole week. And they woke up on Monday and said, okay, yeah, all those other poor schleps had to get up early and get the manna. We didn't. Let's go. And suddenly they went in, and it's all rotted, and it has worms. It's unable to be eaten. And they had no food for that day because the other people just got enough for one day. Well, then on Friday, if you gathered twice as much, it would rot overnight. But on Friday, God said, you need to gather twice as much because there's not going to be any manna on Saturday. That's the Sabbath day. So some people went out and got twice as much, hoping that what God said was true. Some others said, well, we tried it on Sunday, it didn't work, so we're going to go out tomorrow and get the manna because it's going to be there. And of course, there was no manna on the Saturday, but those that had gotten double on the Friday came up, and their manna was perfectly fine for Saturday, as if it had just been gathered, and they were able to use it to bake bread and to make things. Well, God says something similar here with the harvest. He says, in that sixth year, if you're trusting me, I will give you an abundant harvest in the sixth year, so that you will have plenty of food for year number seven. And I'll take care of you by doing this. It was a test of their faith, whether God was going to provide for them. The year of Jubilee took place after the seventh Sabbath year. So it was basically going to be a Sabbath of Sabbaths, if you will. So 49 years go by, and Israel will have kept seven Sabbath years in that time. So 49 years. But then the 50th year comes, and they have to do the same things that they were doing in the year previous, the Sabbath year previous. And all those same rules apply. They're not allowed to harvest. They're not allowed to go and collect things. They're not allowed to prune their vines. They're not allowed to plant. They're not allowed to do any of those things. And on top of that, the buying and selling of land was given specific rules. So if I started off my life and my father was a poor money manager, and which he was, but he was a poor money manager and he couldn't make things go well, he sells our land. And say he sells our land in the 10th year after a Jubilee. Well, for that price, because somebody's going to get that land for 40 years, it's going to be a good value. But at the end of those 40 years, that land reverts to my father. Or if he's dead, it would revert to me. Or if I was dead, it would revert to my children. And it stays in the family, no matter how much it was sold for. It goes back to the previous owner. And that's why the price would be set depending on how far away the year of Jubilee would be. Because I can get 40 years worth of fruit from this land, or 10 years of fruit from this land. It would always revert back to the original owner. The only exceptions to that rule was any house that was within a walled city, or any part of the property of the Levitical cities. Those things were not part of the year of Jubilee. So if you were in York, and you sold a house in York, then at the year of Jubilee, whoever you sold that house to kept the house. You didn't get any money back. You didn't get the property back for it. If an Israelite, so say my father was a poor money manager, and he sold our property after 10 years, and he was even worse money manager than any of us thought, and after another 10 years, he's completely broke, he has no way to get any money, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell himself and the rest of his family into servitude. And he's going to do that for 30 years. So that until the next year of Jubilee, my family, we all become servants. And we're slaves into the house of someone who buys our work, buys our labor. But at the end of those 30 years, or the next year of Jubilee, we're set free. Not only would we be set free, we'd also be given back the land that he sold at the beginning. And we would have that attempt to start over. And if he had died, then myself and whatever else would then have land to try and begin again. And hopefully, whoever had bought our land did really good on it, did really well on it, because then I'd walk in and I'd find a vineyard all set to go, or whatever crop there had been, that it will be something that I will be able to make use of very quickly. And that was the hope, so that it would lessen the burden upon the poor in Israel. But the difficulty for the year of Jubilee is that it would lay fallow for 2 years. Because the Sabbath year would be the 49th year. That would be a normal Sabbath year. And then the year of Jubilee would come. And so it would be a matter of faith for Israel to say, I'm trusting God that He, in the 48th year, is going to give such a harvest that we're going to have enough for the 49th year, we're going to have enough for the 50th year, all the way until the harvest of the 51st year. That He's going to give us all that we need for 2.5 years at the end of the 48th year. That's a matter of faith. There are some other details that you can look into regarding it, but I think that suffices for our understanding. So why does He do this? Well, because people get caught up in the law, and they think that the law is all about what you do and what you don't do. These are the things you should be doing, and these are the things you ought not to be doing. And then the New Testament comes, and it's all about faith. But the Scripture is not built that way. It's always been about faith. Abraham was the father of the faithful, as we learn in Galatians. This is all about faith. It's all about trust. Is God going to provide for me and my family in the year that we don't do any work on our land? Not only that, when it gets to the 50th year, am I trusting God in the 48th year that for the next 2.5 years, I'm going to have enough to eat? My family's going to have enough to eat. We're all going to be taken care of. That is faith. It is all down to who God is. The land required rest. It's a funny thing. It wasn't until the 20th century that people truly started to understand that you needed to rotate your crops, because the nutrients from always planting the same crop in the same place, all the nutrients in that ground would be sucked out, and your crops would go down and down in quality until the point where you could no longer grow crops on that land. But if you rotate your crops, then you can actually, the land will be replenished. Well, that's exactly what the Sabbath year is. That's exactly what the year of Jubilee is. It's a rest for the land. So this item of faith is important for Israel. So the question comes, did they ever celebrate the Sabbath years or the year of Jubilee? Well, in Scripture, as far as I'm aware, we have no record that the Jews ever celebrated either one. We have no record whatsoever anywhere in the Old Testament or New that they ever celebrated either one. We do have some writings by ancient rabbis and learned men who devised ways to get around it, who figured out ways that, according to their wisdom, they could actually get around the year of Jubilee, where they can get around the Sabbath year. And they said, well, God said that we're not allowed to work the land. So what I can do is I can go hire this guy from Moab or this Philistine to come work my land, because I'm not working my land. I'm just sitting back and not doing anything, so they're working my land, and I'm still honoring the Sabbath year. I'm still honoring the year of Jubilee because I'm not doing it. Well, see, they may have gotten the letter. They didn't get the spirit of it, because it was about faith. It was about trust, not about that sort of situation. Now, knowing that we don't have any record of it, we do have a few things that give us a bit of a hint. The first thing is in Joshua chapter 24. It says that Israel served Jehovah all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of Jehovah that He had done for Israel. They served the Lord faithfully all the years of Joshua and all the years of the elders that outlived Joshua. Does that necessarily mean they celebrated the Sabbath years and the years of Jubilee? No, not necessarily. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I like to think that it does. And the next verse I was going to take us to is in 2 Chronicles 36, and I think that lends weight to the idea that they did. And 2 Chronicles 36 says, to fulfill the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Now, a score is 20 of whatever it is. So 70 years is 70 years. That's the amount of time that Judah is taken into exile in the Babylon. before they come back. 70 years. And Chronicles is telling us that the land was enjoying its Sabbath rest for the number of years that they didn't celebrate the Sabbath years. Well, if you do the math, as I like to do, you take the 70 and you multiply it by 7 and you come up with 490. So for the span of a total of 490 years, they didn't celebrate the Sabbath year or the year of Jubilee. Now, when you think about that, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, from the time of Joshua and the entering into the land and the conquest until the exile, when that 70 years would have began, is 820 years. So it seems that there would be 330 years of time where they sounds like they may have celebrated the year of Jubilee in the Sabbath years. That during those years, they were faithfully doing that. Maybe those were the years of Joshua. Maybe those were the years of the elders that outlived Joshua. Maybe some of the judges. Maybe David. Maybe Solomon. And maybe they were fulfilling these years of Jubilee. Maybe under some of the revivals of some of the kings that come along later, they celebrated the Sabbath years and the years of Jubilee. Because the math tells us that if they hadn't celebrated it at all, then the number would have been greater. It would have required them to have been gone for 120 years instead of 70 years if they were going to fulfill all the Sabbaths of the land. So, why does that matter? Why does this make a difference to us? Well, number one, it's the scripture and it's interesting to know. But number two, we have to think about faith. We have to think about the way the Lord blesses. We don't always know what he's doing. We don't always understand his ways and means. Here he's saying to the Israelites, I want you to trust me. And think about it in this way. Think when Joseph went into Egypt. What happens? Joseph goes into Egypt and he's going through trial after trial. Eventually, Pharaoh has a dream. And Pharaoh has this dream where he sees these seven fat calves, these seven fat cows coming up out of the Nile. And boy, they just look great. But then seven lean calves come up and they eat the fat calves, but they don't get any fatter. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, Joseph interprets the dream and says, those seven fat ones are 7 years of plenty. And you can't just sit back and enjoy it like it's all, oh, it's wonderful, this is great, it's going to be this way all the time. He says those 7 years of plenty are to prepare you for the 7 years of leanness that are going to come later. So when those 7 years of plenty come, store a great part of that away. So that when the 7 years of leanness come, you have food later on. Well, that's similar to what God is saying to the Israelites. He says, I'm going to bless you in the sixth year. I'm going to bless you in the 48th year. I'm going to bless you so much that you have enough to get by in the lean years. Because it's going to be lean. You're not going to be able to get new wine. You're not going to be able to get new grain. You're going to be going through lean times. And that takes faith. It takes faith. It takes trust in who God is. Now, we don't know the future. God hasn't come down and given us a dream like Joseph's. He hasn't given us the Sabbath year. We're not Israel. We're not attempting to be Israel. But we have to keep in mind, when God is blessing, why is he doing it? Maybe he's preparing us for something. Maybe he's preparing us for a lean time. Just because the bank account gets bigger doesn't mean we spend all that the bank account gives us. Faith tells us that maybe God is preparing us for a time where we won't have that same means of income. Maybe it's something along those lines that we have to prepare for. And that faith is trust in the everyday. Trust in the everyday that, oh, this isn't working out this way. Is God going to take care of me tomorrow? Well, yes, he's going to take care of you tomorrow. But he may not take care of you the same way he took care of you today. It might be different. You might not live in the same place. You might not be able to do the same things you used to do. But that doesn't mean God isn't taking care of you. Faith is trust when the difficulties come. Faith is trust even when there's no difficulties. And God is saying, I want you to have the land take a rest. I want you to have this opportunity to not do what you were doing. And today, we don't even think about it. We just have this weekend that we are used to. The Sabbath day, Saturday, and the Lord's day, Sunday. And we just think, oh, it's the weekend. Well, it's not the weekend. Saturday is the weekend, and Sunday is the week beginning. But we think this way, and it no longer is a matter of faith that we have this time that we set aside, because it's just the way this society works. But for some, in many years past, it was a matter of faith. It was a matter of faith that I'm not going out into the fields today. I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to set up my stall and sell and trade today, because I'm setting this day aside to worship the Lord. I'm doing this for His honor and for my good. And I'm going to trust Him that He's going to provide for me the other 6 days to take care of everything that I need. That's how God is. He wants us to live by faith. We studied Hebrews on Wednesday nights, and what does Hebrews tell us? The just shall live by faith in the everyday, not in just the big things, and not in just the little things. And it's not, oh, I've trusted Christ and now I don't have to worry. No, it's trust all the time. It's faith all of the time. Do you think that you've arrived? Well, you haven't arrived yet. The day is still coming. We still have time on this earth where we have to live by faith. And we set an example by the things that we do and how we do them. We set an example by how much devotion we have to the Lord and say, you know what? This is more important than the other things. The Lord is more important than those other things. And I'm going to do it here. I'm going to focus on Him now, not focusing on how I can get ahead, how I can get more money, how I can do this, how much enjoyment I can get out of that. No, it's the Lord first and foremost. He ought to be first in our lives. And this day of Jubilee, I mean, this year of Jubilee, this Sabbath year, that was what it was all about. He's saying, for a whole year, you're constantly reminded, I am trusting God today to provide. To provide everything I need, because I can't do it. That is a large statement of faith. And that's what we kind of miss, because, you know, we've got salaries. We've got society saying, oh, you've got a 5-day work week. And now they're trying to say a 4-day work week. All these sorts of things. And we forget the faith of trusting God, of making sure that we say, you know what? The Lord is more important than our money. The Lord is more important than our house. The Lord is more important than our car. The Lord is more important than our holiday. The Lord is more important than having a nice meal. Those things are not as important as serving the Lord. And it's going to take faith to say, I'm putting Him first. I'm not doing those other things. I'm putting Him first. And that's the reminder that the year of Jubilee gives me. And I hope that it does for you as well, as we consider who the Lord is in our lives. Amen.